Counselor Accents Podcast. Two school counselors who love their jobs. Oh, and they happen to have Southern accents too. Bless their hearts.
I'm Laura Rancourt.
And I'm Kim Crumley. And together we are Counselor Accents.
And today we have a very special guest with us. Her name is Samantha Cobes, and I'm going to let her tell you a little bit about herself, and then I'm going to tell you how we found her, because that story has made me laugh all week. So, Samantha, tell us a little bit about yourself.
My name is Samantha Cobes, and I am a licensed professional counselor, as well as a state-certified teacher and school counselor in the state of Oklahoma. Right now, I'm going on year four at a private independent school in Oklahoma City called Heritage Hall. I love my time there. Go Chargers, and I have the unique opportunity and blessing to be able to serve our school community in our social and emotional aspects. We have academic and college counselors that I work closely with as well, but really my main role is overseeing the social emotional well-being of our students. I have about 350 kids, 9 through 12. So, yeah.
That is a huge job.
Yeah, big job.
So I'm going to explain how we found Samantha. Kim and I knew that we wanted to touch on the mental health components of everything that's going on right now. And so I said, well, I'll just put something out there on Instagram and sort of go fishing for a mental health counselor. And I thought I was being so funny using the, but I was using the Olaf from the latest Frozen movie where he says, Samantha. And so I just posted out there, hey, are there any mental health counselors with that little meme, Samantha? And all of a sudden, I get a post from someone named Samantha saying yes. And I thought maybe she was just answering because her name was Samantha, and I thought that was funny. But then it turns out she really is a mental health person. So it's like the best of both worlds. We have a Samantha who's mental health. It just all works out.
Yeah, I just recently, I'll admit, watched that movie a few weeks ago, and I was like, oh, this is awesome. I haven't been having too many people ask me about it, but it is kind of funny to kind of join in and see the little merchandise with my name written on it. It's just funny. Yeah, I love it.
That's my favorite part of the movie. Samantha? Yeah. I don't even know Samantha.
No. I also love the part where Olaf's like, this is controlling things when things feel out of my control. And I'm like, I have said that to so many kids. So I want to use that somehow.
But Laura called me after she saw the movie and she said, this is counselor rich. I mean, there is so many.
That is. Yeah, absolutely.
I am so sorry. I'm such a busy.
You are a mess today, Kim.
A lot busier than Laura. So that's why I actually have people calling me at various times to make me look busy.
Mm-hmm. Well, so tell us a little bit about what you're seeing, kind of the pulse of what you're seeing right now as far as mental health in your own school and community.
Sure. So, you know, it's hard because we're so used to seeing kids in, you know, our day-to-day face-to-face just routines. And I've been trying to get, you know, just kind of doing the best that I can to connect with kids from afar. And I think at this point, it's kind of, you know, they're kind of still getting used to it. And so I'm getting a lot of like, I'm okay, we're okay, you know, things are going all right. And so I think they're hanging in there for now. I think some kids are doing better than others. I've noticed some of our kids with, you're seeing the same things. A lot of our kids with executive functioning, you know, issues, they're having a hard time. Just the self-regulation and self-starters and organization is really going to start taking a toll. As all of our counselors are, just trying to make ourselves as available as we can to our kids via, you know, digital office hours, you know, Monday through Friday. I'm trying to funnel as many SEL resources, well-being you know, tips, tricks, anything I can get my hands on, trying to funnel it in that direction towards them. I think eventually I'll start getting some phone calls and emails from parents saying, help, how can we support our kid, our student with this, and this is what we're noticing. And so our first week back for remote learning was last week. So this week is our second full week. And so I think it's, you know, the newness is going to start wearing off in a little bit. And some kids, I think, are going to continue to do well and soar and thrive in this kind of downtime. And some kids are really exceptional at that. But I do have a feeling that this week was maybe some of our kids are going to start to unravel and start to struggle with not the novelty is going to rail off, you know, wear off a little bit. So that's kind of what I'm seeing. I'm just trying to equip myself and as much much resources as I can. I have two awesome counselors on my campus as well. We have a middle school counselor and a lower school counselor as well. And so we are just constant communication of what we're noticing and what we're seeing. And so, yeah, we're just trying to all communicate as much as we can.
So this is your second week that you've been home.
Yes. So second full week of remote learning starting this week. We're all kind of hearing rumblings around spring break that this might be a possibility. And so our teachers were kind of, you know, asked to prep some lessons for a few weeks of, you know, remote learning. And so our teachers kind of could prepare a little bit for that, but you can only plan so much, and then you know, it's here. And so we're all trying to do the best that we can and adjust as needed as the time goes by. And so yeah, second full week right now.
I'm gonna step out just a second from what we're talking about, just to some practical things. So because I know we're, you know, talking to people throughout the United States, and every situation is different, every district is different, but just some practicality things that have taken place with your school system. How much direction did you get for your remote learning?
From my administrators, or yeah, just
how much, I mean, how timely did they turn around and say, hey, this is how we're going to proceed?
Yeah.
These are your guidelines. Are you looking for ASCA for guidelines? Are you looking for your administrator for guidelines?
Yeah.
What are your concerns about FERPA? Talk to me about some practicality, housekeeping things when you prepared yourself to do this.
Yeah, and I think our administrators are doing a really great job at setting the expectations, and at least from the you know, faculty standpoint, just trying to be as reassuring and calm and steady as they are always are. And so that's been really reassuring to see. But it is kind of tricky being in a private school where we don't have the district policies or procedures and things like that. And so it is a little bit, we are, at least from a counselor standpoint, in regards to confidentiality and all of those ethical guidelines that we follow. I don't really have a district to kind of lean on or kind of reference. And so, you know, the counselors, and I've been leaning on some of our other private school counselors who are across the street, you know, to kind of say, how is this working for you? Do you use this? And ASCA has been phenomenal just in providing those most recent webinars and FAQs. And so, yeah, I grabbed that as quickly as I could and watched that. So that was really helpful. And again, kind of just leaning on the other counselors in the building, or on campus, my campus, just to say, hey, this is what I'm noticing. What have you read? That kind of thing. So that's been a little challenging. Just, and I think, you know, all whether it's private or public school, we're all kind of in the same boat. We've never done this before, and so we're all kind of struggling through it day by day. So I kind of have to reassure myself that there's no handbook for this. There's no. Right. There's no right way or wrong way to go about this. We just kind of have to take it in stride So yeah, that's been.
So when you put that information out to your students, my digital hours are this.
Mm-hmm.
And so you're keeping from, you know, you've made that clear to your students, this from this time to this time, you can contact me. Mm-hmm. How are they contacting you? Through email, through
Zoom?
How are you meeting with your students?
I've really been trying to funnel everyone towards Zoom just because I think that's kind of the format that I've liked so far. But I also understand there's laptop issues. Sometimes our cameras aren't working. And so trying to kind of change my mindset a little bit, because I'm very, as we all are, you know, with our personal, you know, Facebook or cell phone numbers, you know, we try to guard that and protect that as much as we can. And so I will continue to do that. But also, like, if a student wants to reach out to me via Google Hangout or chat with me, typically on a normal school day, I'd be like, no, come see me in person. But in this occasion, I'm like, okay, this is kind of how this person is going to connect. And I was surprised because I reached out to a student for a check-in via email to try to maybe set up one of these. And I was shocked at the amount of feedback I got from him, just with how detailed his thoughts were. Because usually in person, it's kind of a struggle trying to pull words out of them, and the response I got from him was so lengthy. And so that was kind of reassuring to me that, okay, wow, it's okay for me to kind of do some correspondence in an email if that's the case, just because maybe that's his comfort. And to be okay with that and not push the, it has to look this way or it has to look that way. So yeah, that's been kind of an observation of mine recently.
That's very interesting. And you're not the only person that has observed that. Someone else told me, or maybe I heard it on a webinar, but students were videoing. Their response was a video back to a question.
We were talking about it on one of our last podcasts. The person we were interviewing was saying that students that had never really been conversational or verbal, all of a sudden when they got behind the screen and were able to do a video, it unlocked something. And
yeah. Is that where that was?
Do what?
Is that where I heard it?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, we had a discussion about it.
That's awesome.
So I have a question about the mental health role. Now, as school counselors, it's going to be different.
Sure.
Than a mental health counselor, or, you know, having your LPC or whatever. But how do you see the mental health extension? I feel like our role has sort of expanded.
Yeah.
Where we're not just there for students, but I feel a pressure, and it may just be on me, but mm-hmm. I feel a pressure to be there for the teachers.
Yeah.
Because this is an adjustment for everyone. And it's almost like we need to grieve as if we had experienced a loss.
Right.
And so, you know, I want to provide resources for teachers to grieve that there was no closure for the school year.
Right.
I feel the pressure to add resources for parents because they're having to adjust whether they're working still in their job or not. And then I also feel the pressure to be there for my students. So how would you suggest stretching yourself to meet those needs?
Right. And I think you can't be 100% to all of those people all the
right.
time. And just recognizing, you know, these are the things I can control. These are the things I can't control. So many more things outside of our control. But I think I feel that pressure too. We as counselors, we're kind of that positivity and that lifeline to help connect and reassure and bring comfort, and to not join in on the chaos that's going on around us, and to really bring that calm and steadiness is something that the kids and our teachers look towards us. And so that is a lot, a huge compliment, but it could put a lot of pressure on us as well. And so, at least for my teachers, I've just been encouraging them, one, with just resources on digital learning, and I think general reminders that we're having a hard time with this. As adults, we're having a hard time with this.
Yeah.
And for our kids, who, especially with adolescents, who their whole identity is around the friends that they hang out with, and sometimes they spend more time at school and in their friend group than they do at home. And just that reassurance that this is tough, and it's going to take them some time for this to feel semi-normal. So just those gentle reminders for the teachers that, hey, it's okay if you're having a hard time. I've been sending a lot of resources for my teachers about self-care, and setting, you know, boundaries. And I kind of have to practice what I preach too, is that I've been telling my teachers, it's okay for you to set office hours and to communicate, this way or that way. But then it's 7 o'clock and, you know, I'm still trying to funnel resources towards people. And I'm like, you know what? I can take a break and I can go eat dinner. So it's tough. It's hard to be 100% to all the people all the time. And, I think I just, you know, just doing what you can. I've kind of set up, like a Google folder, kind of three separate things: resources for students, resources for parents, resources for teachers. Because I think we all have spent so much time on whether it's Instagram or Twitter or finding all these amazing resources that people are sending out, but I'm just having a hard time organizing it in a way that makes sense in my brain. Yeah. So I've just been trying to somewhat organize all of those things kind of by separate folders, so to speak, so that when it's time, because I want to eventually send, the kids have been bombarded with email. So I want to send something to the parents just to say, hey, as counselors, we're here. Here's some support and some resources. So eventually I'm going to send out a parent kind of communication from the counseling office. So I want to have all those resources kind of ready and stored up. So I'm trying to do the best that I can to organize it in the midst of being flooded with lots of different things. And I think it is really cool, at least from the school counselor standpoint. So many people have been making the resources like free and easily downloadable and printable. And that has been such a great thing to witness and to see, just kind of our school counselor community come together and just wholeheartedly support one another. And what's mine is yours, like take what you need. So that's been really cool.
And we have addressed that. It's almost as if there's been an overwhelming flood, which better to have too much than not enough. But it can be overwhelming.
Yeah.
What do I grab?
It's like, do I need to check all of these things out? Because, you know, what if the next wonderful thing? Yeah. We're inundated with all of these resources, which is a great thing. So I think you addressing the organization of that.
Yeah.
Is what I feel for my students would work. This is what I feel would benefit my parents.
Yes.
Every group is different. Every group of families. And this is how we support our teachers.
That's so practical to make a folder for all three, but I never thought about it, you know, but you just,
I did, Laura. I thought about it.
I'm sure you did.
I
wish you had told me then, because it took her telling me, hey, make a folder for three separate things. That
I have lots of folders and they're color coded. Okay. I'm lying, Samantha. I have no folders, but I think that is a wonderful idea. And I would love for you to share your resources with us about the self-care for teachers. I would like to get that out. I would like to share something with teachers.
Yeah. Yeah. Cause they're,
and sometimes I'm almost, I think, and Laura and I have talked about this, in some ways, for our younger students, we are grieving, and sometimes I have noticed we're actually kind of putting that on our students.
Right.
Like, I'm so sad and I miss you so much.
Yeah.
And they, you know, maybe not are not there yet. And right. So we have to be careful and balance that.
I have a kindergarten student. My own daughter is in kindergarten, and I have to be very careful because right now she's living her best life. She's sure. having the time of her life. And I know as a parent that it's not the same. It hadn't dawned on her yet that I don't get to go see my teacher again and my classmates. So my husband and I were talking about it last night, and he said, it's going to hit her eventually. And he said, so we'll need to sit her down and say, you don't get to play with your friends anymore. You don't get to. And I'm like, no, we don't frame it that way. We're going to say
eventually, hey. Not yet. Yeah.
Right. And we'll frame
that's
it.
That's why your husband's not a school counselor. Right. He's not a teacher. Hey, look, you're not going to get to do these things.
Yeah.
Do you find with the older students who may be are more aware, of course, of really what's going on, that this is triggering, or have you noticed that this is triggering other things in their lives? Because we know one thing can really trigger something totally different for them.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I think that isolation, if you don't address it, if you don't kind of talk about it or speak to it, it can, morph into other things. And so that's why I've been trying to, you know, share with students that we need to do the best that we can to communicate from afar, virtually check in with one another. And, you know, I think we all have, I think school is such a protective factor for so many of our kids, mm-hmm. Whether it's, you know, sense of safety, you know, getting their basic needs met, food, clothing, all of those things. And so I do worry about some of our kids who, just kids, I think as teachers as well, I talked to a few of my teacher friends, and I think some of their basic concerns, for their kids is just making sure that they're fed. I think in any school we're worried about domestic violence rising during this time, or students who are already struggling with anxiety or depression and that worsening over time because they can't get in with their therapist or whatnot. And so as counselors, just checking in with some of those frequent flyers and just checking in and saying, hey, how's this going? How are you taking care of yourself in this way? Are you taking your precautions, and can your counselor see you in your, you know, in telehealth sessions or not? So yeah, I think we all have worries that that while this time can be a really great time filled with family time and lots of really great reminders and perspective and all of that, it can also, there's also some things we got to kind of keep our eye on and make sure that that we're checking in and talking, keeping those conversations going.
Mm-hmm. And that's just it in a nutshell. I mean, I just feel like we can make it as hard or as complicated, but that's just it in a nutshell. The best that we can do is just check in or offer.
Yeah.
We're here if you need us.
Yeah. Cause we could make the pressure so much greater and get caught in that. I just call it a paralysis where we can't move forward because we don't know what to do. And the pressure is so great that we don't do anything. And so if we just start small where we can and check on our, like you said, our frequent flyers, the ones that we know could be struggling. I think about economically, parents losing their jobs.
Absolutely.
And the stress that will be added to our students. Maybe some that were never frequent flyers all of a sudden have a little bit more pressure at home, and that concerns me. What would you recommend as far as that?
Just checking in with some new kids kind of thing. I think just, you know, reiterating your role and how you can help is that, hey, I'm not here to fix it. I can't make it go away. But by talking about it can kind of help alleviate some pressure in your mind. And And I think, and I always kind of, and not to sound too philosophical or nerdy or anything like that, but there's this theory that always comes to mind when I'm working with kids. It's Maslow's hierarchy of needs. And I think we can't expect students to learn for the sake of learning or to self-actualize or turn in all of their assignments all the time if we can't keep in mind that, you know, that maybe mom and dad just lost their job, or they're working less hours and so they're not making as much, or
you know, we can kind of come up with lots of different things. And so to kind of keep that in mind, and to kind of help reassure the students that this isn't going to last forever, you know, that while, yeah, mom and dad are having a hard time, you know, you still are in a safe environment and they're going to do the best that they can to help make sure that you're safe and taken care of, and just to validate their concerns and not dismiss them and say, oh, you're fine, you know, you've got this, you know, but just to kind of validate and reassure that that they can, that they're going to get through this, and you're going to be there to, as a support from afar.
Are you, Samantha, putting any hotlines out for your students, hotline numbers, so that if you are not available to, in order to answer their calls or take their, so what are you doing in that aspect too?
Yeah, and that was something that Aska brought up that was a really great idea. We as the counselors in the building made sure to put our emails and our Zoom kind of accounts and our office hours and all of that. And we had just said, you know, if you need help outside of our school hours, we recommend these resources. And so I have our local kind of referral crisis hotline, the suicide prevention hotline, a youth crisis mobile response, a free text line, child abuse hotline. I just kind of put all the things that I could kind of find that were local and helpful. And so I just kind of, I'm sharing that not only with on our like personal kind of like our Google classrooms, that's kind of where I've been trying to funnel a lot of this information for our kids, but I also want to make sure I share it with our administrators, our communications team, our teachers, all of that, so that they know that they can access those hotlines if need be.
The text line, that's new to me. Yeah.
Okay.
Is that a national text line, or is that?
I believe so. So it's my understanding is you text home, HOME, to 741741. And I want to say, and I put it on there because I think it is national. I'm trying to find exactly the resource for you, but it's apparently it's a global nonprofit free confidential crisis intervention. And so I've put it in our bathrooms, bathroom stalls in our building, in addition to the National Suicide Prevention Hotline. So I haven't used it, and I always like to share it with students just in case they, you know, if
absolutely find it easier.
Yeah. So I try to provide both things, both call and text line. But if I find the name of the organization, I'll let you know. I don't sent me to, it's just crisistextline.org is what it's pulling up as. And there's a text line in Canada and the UK too, which is just different.
Okay. That's new to me. Thank you for sharing that. Is there any other resource that stands out to you that through this, it's new to you, but you're thinking this is something that really works for me?
Yeah, I've been I know the the American Foundation for Suicide Prevention, they just kind of rolled out a kind of a digital mental health resources. And so I just found that recently. The Child Mind Institute, if you're familiar with them, they have amazing resources as well on how to support really just any kind of topic for families or educators. But they have a lot of really recent resources on supporting kids, teenagers, parents with support during this season. So Child Mind Institute is excellent. And then Grown and Flown, I haven't read their book yet, but they've got a blog and they've got a lot of really amazing resources for parents on how to just, you know, navigate with having kids at home and what to do. So Grown and Flown is a book, and I haven't read it yet, but apparently it's a great read for soon-to-be empty nesters. But they have a blog, which is I found really helpful just from the parent perspective. So those are just
what.
Yeah.
Thanks. Samantha, thank you so much.
You're welcome. And we're all kind of navigating through this together, so I'll be happy to share any resources that I find just on things I'm funneling out to parents and teachers and all of that. In regards to the student perspective and things that I'm sharing with them, I'm trying my best to do like a school counseling Instagram. I don't know how many people really follow it, but I think some of my students do. When I first created it, kind of with the permission of our school communication first, I just kind of wanted to have another layer that's not email that connects with them and highlights the things that we're doing from our office, but also kind of gives us a chance to kind of give students shout outs and all the great things that they're doing too. So we don't follow any of our students. It's not a way for us to creep on what they're doing or anything like that, but it's just another layer for us to send resources and tips and tricks and reminders, at least from the counseling office. So it's academic college and guidance. So we try to send a lot of students centered or student, through the lens of what students find helpful. And so that's HH School Counseling on Instagram. And so we try to share a lot of student relevant content there.
And we are following you. And I was looking at it and I thought, man, she has got it together. Yeah. The stuff you were putting out, it's like a great combination of informational and lighthearted and just, I think, exactly what students need during this time.
Yeah, that's what the hope behind is that we get to connect with kids. And it was kind of cool. Last week I tried how are we doing here? And, yes, no, are you trying this and that? And so I got some engagement there. And so that was kind of cool to see that they were, some of them were using a desk instead of their bed to study. It's like, oh good, they're taking some of our advice, and it's a little things like that. It's just been fun to kind of connect with them and engage with them, and some parents follow too. And while it's not designed specifically for parents, I think it is cool that they are following, because then they can be like, hey, did you see what your school counselors posted on this? You might want to check that out. And so it can be kind of cool too for other families to follow.
Samantha, let me say I am so impressed.
Oh, I know.
Because, we are in a district with an amazing supervisor, a district supervisor for school counselors. So a lot of that eases our burden of where do we go. But I feel like in your situation, you have had to be that person because of it being the private school, and that's just a lot on you, but it just sounds like you have risen to the challenge, and not only for yourself, but now you're sharing with us and sharing, which this is what this is about. So you're sharing with other people across the United States what you're doing, and I appreciate that because I know you've got a heavy load.
Yeah, we all do,
now.
And I really appreciate that. That means a lot, and I think I haven't done this alone. I've got a lot of really great colleagues and other counselors that I've had to lean on and connect with during this time. And it's been really cool for us to see us all kind of come together as a counseling community to try to best serve our families and our students, because it's just tough. I'm very introverted by nature, but this has been really hard, even as an introvert and one that kind of thrives on having alone time. We're all built to be supporters and just people to kind of love on our kids. And it's been hard to do that from afar, but I'm trying to do the best that we can to, like you said, rise to the occasion
And Laura and I have said it's a growth mindset period that we're going through. It's a growth burst mindset. Yeah. It's, we're not able to ease in to new ways of thinking and doing. We're having
airplane while we're flying it.
Yes, it is like, woo, here it is, you know.
And practicing what we preach a little bit also, right? Of the growth, like you said, the growth mindset and being patient and deep breathing.
Right.
I was getting so frustrated at my computer the other day, and my husband was like, Sam, like, you can't, like, you have to get it together. And I was like, you're right. Like, I need to really practice what I preach here. And so hopefully all those skills that we've been kind of embedding over the past school year, this is a chance for them to practice it. And so maybe we can, I don't know, maybe remind our parents, like, oh, hey, we have been talking about deep breathing. You might ask them kind of what they learned. And so hopefully maybe some of those things will stick. But
yeah. Absolutely.
So, yeah.
Thank you, Samantha. Well, I appreciate you being on with us. Do you have anything else, Laura?
I think that covered everything. This has just been so helpful for me. I benefited from this tremendously, and so I know that our listeners will also find this very helpful. This just hits one of those needs that we have right now, those questions that are just like, what do we do, and where's the line for school counselors, and how do we help everybody? And I think that you very gracefully answered all of those questions.
Well, good. I'm glad to hear that, and like I said, we're all kind of going through this together. If I can be a support to, you know, either of you all or anyone else listening, I'm happy to connect and to support. My school email is skobs@heritagehall.com. I'd be happy to connect or help anyone else who may be navigating through some of the same things. And I'll be following you guys from afar and following your Instagram and all that good stuff. And so I'm sure I'll have questions about what you guys are doing or how you're making things work. So I hope to connect with you guys, you know, as even after all of this, you know.
That's a blessing. Definitely. New people, making new friends. Yes. When season is over and we go into another season and other issues or other things, we'll have connections across that we've made through this. So that's another blessing. So thank you for being our new friend.
Yeah.
Offering yourself up to our listeners and mm-hmm. our other friends. So, Thank you
for the opportunity. It's been a blessing, and thank you guys so much for what you do. And I loved your guide for school counselors on school closures. I had happened to stumble across that, and I'm excited to use that just kind of in, like you said, the closure and the wrapping up of the school year and thinking ahead the best that we can. So just thank you guys for what you do and the resources that you provide all of us in our schools. So thank you guys.
Thank you so much.
You're
welcome.
Yeah.
Okay.
We don't have a cat pick or a pick of the week for this episode, but we are going to give you a bonus podcast later in the week. But we don't want to leave you without any humor, so I am attaching an outtake from a previous podcast episode. And be watching for our second podcast that we'll release later in the week. And despite what it may sound like, we really do love each other.
All right.
Are you recording?
Yeah, I'm ready. I've got it going.
It says it's recording.
I'm doing it.
I didn't know you were doing it.
We are not going to make it through this quarantine.
We're going to kill each other.
Gosh, I'm so glad you have not taken me up on my offer to move in with me. I'm glad right now.
I think it would be better if I was there. I think it's this distance that's hurting us.
I'm not good with absence. You know, people say absence makes the heart grow fonder. That's not true. It's never been true.
It's the opposite with us. It's the opposite. But do not come over here. Do not bring yourself over here.
Okay.
We are shut down like Fort Knox over here.
Say it again, because you've only said it about 100 times.
Well, that I'm saying that because I could just hear you pawing at my door. Baby, no, I'm not letting you in.